at zoom.us.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. For a good portion of this program, we're going to talk about the recount and the fact that several major races in Florida are still not decided. So stick around if you want to talk about that. We'll even open up the phone lines at the end of the program. We're going to hear Florida this week, but first, a listener comment about last Friday's program. Last Friday, on the first part of the show, we talked with a religious broadcaster, a former religious broadcaster, who's now an atheist. And after the show, here's what one listener had to say.
I was just listening to the show today with your supposedly Christian-turned-atheist. Well, that's an impossibility. Actually, a good show would be having a guy like me who was an atheist and became a fundamentalist Christian. Or how about Blackie Lawless of Wasp, who became a fundamentalist Christian, or Dave Mustaine of Megadeth, or Nico McBrain of Iron Maiden, or Alice Cooper himself. That would be a great show. Let Alice Cooper talk about what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his life.
A listener comment that came in after Friday. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to hear Florida This Week, which is a panel discussion about state and local politics that airs on WEDU-TV, the PBS station that serves all of West Central Florida. And as we listen back to this program, you can email your comments into the studio here. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. As you can imagine, the outcome of the election was one of the big topics on Friday's show. Coming up next, the election is not over, and several statewide races are heading for recounts. The governor charges that liberals are trying to steal the election. Is Florida moving from being a purple state to a red state? And despite their complexity, most of the proposed amendments on the ballot pass. Political Insights next on Florida This Week.
WEDU Studios, this is Florida This Week. And now, moderator Rob Lori.
Welcome back. This week, our panelists are Adam Smith is the political editor at the Tampa Bay Times. Adam Goodman is Tufts University's Edward R. Murrow Fellow and a Republican. Dr. Susan McManus is Professor Emeritus of Government and International Affairs at USF in Tampa. And State Senator Daryl Roussan represents District 19 and is a Democrat. Well, it's great to have you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Well, it turns out that the election is not over. As ballots were being counted after Election Day, three statewide races moved close enough to require recounts. If a race is within a half a percentage point under state law, a machine recount is mandatory. As early votes and mail-in ballots were being counted in heavily Democratic Broward and Palm Beach counties, Governor Rick Scott's election night lead over Senator Bill Nelson shrunk far below his 60,000 election night margin. The same happened in the Ron DeSantis-Andrew Gillum race for governor. And as the counting continued this week, Democrat Nikki Fried gained a slight lead over Republican Matt Caldwell in the race for agriculture commissioner. On election night, Caldwell had been thought to be the winner. On the steps of the governor's mansion Thursday night, Governor Scott announced a lawsuit against the election supervisors in Broward and Palm Beach.
So it has been over 48 hours since the polls closed, and Broward and Palm Beach counties are still finding and counting ballots. I will not sit idly by while unethical liberals try to steal this election from the great people of Florida.
Senator Bill Nelson answered, saying all the votes should be counted, and Scott's lawsuit was an act of political desperation.
But based on my experience in other states in recounts, I would expect that when we go into a machine recount and then a hand recount, right now the results is unknown. As to who has won, and place a bet, I would say that it is more likely than not that Senator Nelson will prevail in a recount and therefore be sworn in again to the United States Senate for another term in January.
So, Adam Smith, let's start with you. The governor said that unethical liberals are trying to steal this election. Did he offer proof that they were trying to steal the election?
No, and here's what's odd about that. He does this event, this press conference, in front of the governor's mansion, but it's organized by his Senate campaign. So he comes out and sort of he's not really the governor at that point. He's got his Navy cap on, and he's a candidate for U.S. Senate, and he's talking about calling for an FDLE investigation. So it's those roles are really mixed up. And in answering the question, there's clearly evidence of incompetence, of mind-boggling incompetence at the Supervisor of Elections office in Broward County, but zero evidence of fraud or anything.
All right, so everybody wants to know how many ballots are still out there. Is it unusual to have ballots still being counted this many days after an election? Where are these ballots coming from? Adam, you want to take that question?
The answer is who knows. I mean, we don't know how many ballots are outstanding, but let's put all this in context for a second. You know, this is a state that's not unfamiliar with close elections. We all go back painfully to 2000. I was right there in the crucible with Catherine Harris. I lived that. And the thing that we really wanted to do, and maybe they're partisan doubters, we wanted to get it right. Because the one thing that's at stake with all of this is the integrity of the vote, the integrity of democracy, that when you actually go and you cast your decision about which way you want things to fly, it actually counts. The fact that it's not all known immediately is not unusual. In fact, in most parts of the country where there's increasing vote by mail, it's darn nigh impossible to get a full count, as they say, as people expected there to be on election night. These elections, unfortunately and messily sometimes, drag on. What's happening here, though, and with the governor and what he did, he's putting pressure on the system, knowing that there's there are statutes in play about how much time the supervisors in play, especially in Broward, had to count the ballots. That's the next act of this play, and that's where you're going to see a lot of drama before we get to final line determinations.
Well, Adam is right. We should be concerned about the integrity of the process. That's the most important thing. Not name calling, not allegations of theft and fraud that are unsubstantiated, but having a system of counting ballots so that the people have integrity about their vote. That's the most important thing here.
Susan, is it how unusual is it to have perhaps thousands of ballots uncounted after election night in a big county like Broward County or a big county like Palm Beach?
The alleged magnitude of uncounted votes that are still out there is very unusual. Look, for example, at neighboring Miami-Dade. They got things in a hurry, and they're a much bigger county. It is true, though, that there are reasons why you can't get a complete count on election night. We've already mentioned one, mail ballots coming in that were legally postmarked. The second, provisional ballots, which we created that after the 2000 election to protect people's right to vote, that then had to check the data to make sure they were registered, but did not take that away from them. And the third is a large bunch of overseas votes, which come not only from military personnel, but also from embassy personnel and academics and business people. And that is a pretty big amount in and of itself, but we don't know how much. The problem in Broward was, besides the supervisor's reputation for incompetence, was the huge number. I mean, you're hearing numbers like 48,000. I mean, the numbers are bandied about, but when you hear that, that's what's unusual.
Now, both sides are lawyering up. Some of the best lawyers, some of the best legal minds when it comes to election law are in this, like Ted Olson, who was right there at the thick of things in the 2000 recount. So are we heading for a situation like the 2000 recount where we didn't know for weeks what the actual outcome of the election is?
I can tell you, I am seriously wondering about Thanksgiving in Broward County, and I'm not just joking. But here's what we're looking up at. We're looking at some statutory dates and deadlines for these things. So I believe it's on November 18th. I don't want to get ahead of things, but there are going to be some hand recounts that are going to be very time-consuming in at least the Senate race, definitely. And on the 18th, those are going to be due. And then they're going to have about 2 days to do that, 3 days to do that. Between the start is probably the 15th, and then they're due the 18th. It's going to be very hard to see that, and I can absolutely see a scenario where we're again talking about, do you stop the voting, where Catherine Harris will be maybe resurrected in the form of somebody else to cut the voting down.
But one of the differences this time, though, is that this is statewide. Remember the problem in 2000 with only four counties, and that was ended up in the Supreme Court of the United States, right? Because it wasn't everyone. We fixed that. There are, as he mentioned, definite standards, definite timetables, definite procedures for triggering recounts. Believe me, that's a marked improvement over 2000.
Let me comment on both. One is that I've gotten information this afternoon that the normal percentage of vote that is in play in a recount, which is the undervotes, the overvotes, ballots that aren't fully or properly or understandably marked, usually you're looking at less than 1% in terms of the incidence of that. In Broward County, I'm hearing that percentage may be as high as 6.5%. That is unbelievable.
6.5% undervote.
6.5% either undervote in the races in play, in the recount, either undervotes, overvotes, or ballots that, again, aren't discernible. That is unbelievable.
All right, so is that the problem of the machines counting it, or is that a problem with the ballot layout?
In 2000, the United States Congress passed an act called, and I'm going to read this, the Help America Vote Act. And part of what it did is it established an election commission that tried to make the process better, more efficient, designed to instill confidence in the American public. One of the things they specifically outlined in that act was for ballots, when under the ballot language of a ballot, there would be no contest listed. Specifically said, do not do that. It violates everything that we hold dear. If we
and
want to
what
get to
happened
the
in this case?
And what happened in Broward is they put the U.S. Senate race below the ballot language.
And that's now, where there's 30,000 undervotes.
Correct.
We've heard reported already.
It could be 25,000. Yeah. It's a machine that didn't pick that up. That's the only hope, frankly, I think, that Nelson has to prevailing. But whatever it is, how do you bloody miss that obvious design in a ballot?
Are you saying the design was a violation of the law?
It technically went against what this commission established by that act had put in play. It completely violated that.
I talked to Pam Iorio, who people around here will know is the quintessential pro at elections. Yeah. Her immediate reaction when she heard that there were that many undervotes was there was a design flaw. Now, I've seen at least one version of the ballot. It looked pretty hard to miss that election. Now, the other explanation, which I guess is a reasonable explanation, is the machines were miscalibrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's not very reassuring that you can miscalibrate these machines, but I gather that's pretty easy to do.
Is there any potential to change what we all thought Tuesday night, Rick Scott is going to be our next U.S. senator, and that Ron DeSantis is going to be our next governor? Is there any?
Well, some people are holding out hope, but I don't think there are enough ballots out there to really change those two races.
I would say, the governor's race is less than a half a percentage point, the margin, and so that means there's going to be a machine recount. And, for the sake of democracy, I would hope that recount with just the machines is not that far off. So it's very hard for me to see how the governor's race changes. The Senate race is likely going to go to these hand recounts. I think the odds are against it, but it's definitely possible.
Rob, let me mention one thing also about the hand recount, which is obviously seemingly going to be in play in the U.S. Senate race. What happens is all the votes that are in play, which are, again, the undervote, the overvote, the ballots that are questioned, they're people sit at tables, and they look at these votes one-on-one in the manual recounts in those races, and then representatives of the respective campaigns that are in play are at those tables, and they don't like what is interpreted, they will challenge that. It then goes to canvassers who are there in that county to then determine whether or not that vote's going to be counted or not. We saw a lot of drama in 2000. I saw a lot of drama in 2000. But what could happen over the next couple of weeks in Florida, and particularly in Broward County, will be a measure in terms of the serial replay of what we thought we had all gotten through
and
many years.
They're looking
ago.
For voter intent there as they're going.
They
through
are, and they yeah. should, because that's what you really want. You
right.
want the vote to be understood, but it's not always that obvious.
One thing we're not going to have is that very famous photo of the guy with the magnifying glass. We don't have hanging chads anymore, thank you.
But you could have that guy examining these two signatures or the chicken scratch next to the bubble. Is that a vote or not a vote?
Well, in my last election, I lived through a recount, manual and machine. And I looked at those ballots, and the voter's intent was pretty clear, and the machines were pretty good about picking that up.
Mark Elia, who is Senator Nelson's attorney, predicted that at the end of this process, Senator Nelson would win re-election. Now, he's got a track record where he's won three of these kind of races, extended races, including Al Franken, that took months to decide. So is he just bluffing?
He has to say that. And I understand why he's saying that. For being reasonable, it's unlikely. It's possible but unlikely that Rick Scott is not going to be declared the winner when it's all said and done. It is highly unlikely that Andrew Gillum will win the governor's race. He has too big a margin to close. But the most important thing to watch in all this is how people behave, frankly, in terms of how they approach this. I do think Scott was the rightful winner, and we'll see that. But I think when he injected politics into play from the governor's mansion, that was something he probably shouldn't have done for the reason of giving everybody the feeling that this was going to be determined the way it should be determined on the merits of the case.
It's also so comparable to the president when he came out and said there was all this voter fraud. If you're the governor of the state, should you really be trying to feed doubt and skepticism about basically the bedrock of democracy, that our votes aren't going to be counted properly?
And again, to my first question, is there evidence of voter fraud? Has anybody put forward evidence that people have voted illegally?
Yes, there have been some already, which is what we find every election season, of people voting here and voting in another state.
All right.
We've already uncovered some of that. Not huge amounts of it, but enough to grab people's attention.
All right, but it's not the Division of Elections or the local elections official doing stealing ballots or hiding ballots.
All right. Well, while the results of some marquee state races are still up in the air, Republicans here in Florida do have some solid wins.
They won two cabinet posts outright. Ashley Moody as Attorney General and Jimmy Patronis won the Chief Financial Officer post. Democrats had hoped to pick up as many as 6 congressional seats statewide, but they only picked up 2. Donna Shalala won Ileana Ross-Leighton's old seat in South Florida, and Democratic challenger Debbie Mercarsel-Powell defeated Republican incumbent Carlos Curbelo in a close race for a district that includes the Keys and the Everglades. Voter turnout was up across the state. It hit 62%. That's up from 51% in 2014. And it was the highest midterm turnout since the 66% in 1994. Democrats poured money and canvassers into a get-out-the-vote effort, but Republicans were also energized. President Trump held 2 pre-election rallies, 1 in Pensacola and 1 in Fort Myers. The 10 counties with the highest turnouts were all Republican strongholds, including Sumter County, the home of the Villages. Compared to the last midterm election, voter turnout was up 8 percentage points in Sarasota, 10 points in Manatee County, 8 points in Charlotte County, 13 points in Lee County, and 12 points in Collier County. All 5 of those coastal counties south of Tampa Bay are full of older white retirees that vote heavily Republican. The 10 counties with the lowest turnout percentages included the Democratic-leaning counties of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Osceola. Pinellas, which went for Trump in 2016, flipped into the D category on Tuesday. And the question is Florida still a purple state, or is it turning red?
All right, Adam Goodman, you think that Scott and DeSantis are going to pull this out. Therefore, is this a red state now, not a purple state?
Okay, just for disclosure's sake, I'm shade blind, so colors really confuse. I think we're a pink state right now.
What is that?
I think we've gone pink, and I think eventually we're going to go back to purple. Meaning, if you look at the expectations were that Republicans were going to not win the governor's office or the U.S. Senate race. That was kind of the expectation. Maybe it's close in the U.S. Senate. That was the national expectation, and that didn't happen. So that makes it kind of a win for Republicans. So you look at Andrew Gillum. Andrew Gillum was an absolute upset winner in the primary, and yet because it looks like maybe he's going to fall short, he's looked at, and that is kind of a disappointing failure, that they thought that was one they had. I think in terms of the state and where it's going, down ballot, Ashley Moody, tremendously qualified. And a wonderful, I think, support and reinforcement and substitute for Pam Harris is interesting. And I think Jimmy Patronis also is going to be great. But I think our state is a microcosm of America. We are a melting pot of America. And as divided as America is today, politically, I think this state still is divided. But if you look at the more than 1 million ex-felons that are about to be enrolled into voting, I think this state very quickly could become that much more competitive moving forward.
Darrell, what do you think?
Well, I don't think it's a pink state. I think it's a purple state. What this election proves is that we are a divided state. Neither party was able to sell their philosophies, platform, principles to a majority, even a supermajority. So we are a purple state, we're a swing state, and I believe the broad swath of Floridian is truly not hard left nor hard right, but is a moderate. They want effective government. They want government that represents their values, like good education, like safe neighborhoods, like treatment versus incarceration. So I think we are a purple state.
Susan, what do you think?
Deep purple.
Deep purple.
Deep purple, yes.
Divided,
this is
divided,
the
divided.
Fifth election in a row. Mm-hmm. Two governor's races, now three, two presidential, where the margin of victory for the winner in a statewide race is 1%, and it's even less this time.
But the
tell me that's not deep purple.
But the Republicans won those races.
That's because they turned out their voters at a higher rate. But let me tell you, demographics are going to catch up with Republicans very fast. Because right now, 53% of our registered voters are the three youngest generations. They are no party affiliation. They tip the race one way or another. But they also are very diverse racially and ethnically. The youngest generation, the Generation Z, 18 to 21-year-old registrants in Florida right now, a majority are non-white. The age transformation of Florida is going to change the politics. But right now, deep purple all the way.
Adam Smith, I got to ask you, the turnout efforts, a lot was put in, especially groups like Tom Steyer's groups and others, really tried to get young people to turn out, African-Americans to turn out, Latinos to turn out. What happened to those turnout efforts? Were they successful in changing the makeup of the electorate?
I was kind of looking forward to disagreeing with facial hair Adam.
You can do that.
But,
you can do that.
No, I basically the answer is those efforts were successful, and I think you would credit Andrew Gillum more than anything else. He was just a very exciting candidate. The problem for the Democrats was they weren't quite as successful as the Republicans. So I think in a midterm election, you're right. Florida is a pinkish, slightly pinkish state because Republicans turn out consistently. But the bottom line is we had so many competitive, you know, basically tied races. And keep in mind, the Democrats picked up 7 to 10 Florida House seats. That's significant. They picked up probably this seat Janet Cruz won from Dana Young, the most competitive district in the state. Now the congressional delegation is 13 Democrats, 14 Republicans. Right. It represents the state. So this was not a terrible year for Democrats.
All right. Well, of the 12 proposed amendments on the ballot Tuesday, 11 passed. 11 amendments needed 60% of the vote to win, so it was a high bar.
Amendment 4 passed, and that's the one that extends automatic voting rights restoration to felons who've completed their sentences. People convicted of murder and sex crimes are excluded. Among the other amendments passing, casino gambling must now get voter approval. Tax increases by the legislature must be approved by a two-thirds vote. Offshore oil drilling in Florida waters and vaping in the workplace will now be banned. And greyhound racing will be phased out.
Senator, you served on the Constitutional Revision Commission. Which one of those amendments was yours?
Well, first of all, I was very honored and privileged to serve on the Constitutional Revision Commission. Of the 37 people that served, only three of us were Democrats. That should tell you something right there. But I was the only Democrat to get an amendment through the committee and onto the ballot, and it passed by the voters, and that was Amendment 11. That dealt with obsolete language about high-speed rail, the discriminatory provision against non-citizens owning land, and most the powerful part of it was the legislature now has the ability to correct a mistake, to correct an injustice.
Is it unusual for voters in Florida when faced with, I think what's fair to say, these are pretty complex amendments, especially the ones passed by the CRC, is it unusual for Florida voters to vote yes on amendments like this?
No, it is
not unusual.
It is not unusual, and a lot of people don't realize that. It used to be years ago, but the last three or four elections, it's been more yes than no. What I see in this, and I sort of got it from what you were talking about there, if you just take the titles of these amendments, most people honestly are not going to read the details of the ballot summary. They're not going to read the full thing. They're going to just look at the title. So if you just put the titles down and you go through, every one of them sounds like a good thing. Okay, so you want to prohibit offshore oil drilling? Yes. You want to, you know, have local control of gambling? Yes. You want to outlaw racing, dog racing, yes. You want to restrict lobbyists, yes. Just go down the list.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to see how in a crowded list like that that a lot of people voted yes because the things that they were looking at, the titles, seemed really wonderful.
There's a
but they voted yes in contravention to editorial boards across this state that urged them to vote no.
Yeah,
I think
the
voter
didn't listen to the editorial. Shocking.
All right. Well, before we go, what other news story should we be paying attention to? Adam Goodman, let's start with you. Your other big story.
Right here in Hillsborough County. So in an area where the metro area is rated one of the worst for transportation in the country and has been for many years. And I was a part, unfortunately, of one earlier effort with former Mayor Iorio and others to try to get some sanity to the process and pass something via the referendum to make ours one of the best. They pass this, it's going to be worth apparently estimated $300 million a year or $9 billion over the 30 years. If we want to be a major league area for growth and for the future, we have to have a major league infrastructure and transportation network. And this, whether you have misgivings about it or not, was a big step in that direction.
Senator Rousseau.
I think Amendment 4. I think the efforts of Desmond Meade and the people to restore the rights of voting to ex-offenders is significant. And now the legislature must act properly and efficiently and quickly to implement this Amendment 4.
Do you have faith they'll do that?
I do.
All right.
I'm going to push them to get it done.
Dr. McManus.
Absolutely. The age and gender diversity of all the people running for office. We had the most competitive races in Florida up and down the ballot that we've had in years. 122 women ran for the state legislature, many women of color. Things they are a-changing because Florida, again, remains the nation's most racially and ethnically diverse and the most purple. Purple-less.
Okay. All right.
Mine was much more substantive. It's a memory from 2000 when I was in Palm Beach County waiting to go to the bathroom during the recount, and some guy with a mustache cut in front of me really rudely. Turns out that was John Bolton, who's now with the UN. So
he was deeply involved in the recount effort back then?
He was one of those people looking over everybody's shoulder protecting the ballots for George Bush, yeah.
And now one of the top Trump administration officials. Well, thank you all for a great show. Thanks for watching Florida This Week. Your comments are always welcome. Please write us at ftw@wedu.org.
Well, that was Florida This Week from this past Friday night. And my guests on that panel, Adam Smith, the political editor at the Tampa Bay Times, Dr. Susan McManus, professor emeritus at USF in Tampa, Senator Daryl Rousseau, who is a Democrat, and Adam Goodman, who's a media guru for Republicans. He was the Republican on that panel. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to talk more about the recount here in Florida. Just reading from the Huffington Post right now, the race to count Florida's votes got even messier on Sunday as Governor Rick Scott's campaign filed a handful of lawsuits seeking to give law enforcement custody of election equipment and prevent certain ballots from being included in official results. Reading from the AP right now, all 67 counties are facing a state-ordered deadline of this Thursday to complete their recounts, and half have already begun. Many other counties were expected to begin the work later today after a weekend of recount drama in Broward and Palm Beach counties, home to large concentrations of Democratic voters. This recount process is unprecedented, even in a state notorious for settling elections by razor-thin margins. State officials said that they weren't aware of any other time a race for governor or U.S. Senate required a recount, let alone both in the same election. In Broward County, the recount was delayed for hours Sunday because of a problem with one of the tabulation machines. That prompted the Republican Party to accuse Broward's supervisor of elections, Brenda Snipes, of incompetence and gross mismanagement. Broward officials faced further headaches after acknowledging the county mistakenly counted 22 absentee ballots that had been rejected. The problem seemed impossible to fix because dismissed ballots were mixed with 205 legal ballots, and Snipes said it would be unfair to throw out all those ballots. Governor Rick Scott, the Republican candidate for Senate, filed suit against Snipes. He's seeking a court order for law enforcement agents to impound all voting machines, tallying devices, and ballots when not in use until such time as any recounts. The suit accuses Snipes of repeatedly failing to account for the number of ballots left to be counted and failing to report results regularly as required by law. The court didn't immediately respond, though outcry from Democrats was immediate. Juan Penalosa, executive director of the Florida Democratic Party, accused Governor Scott of using his position to consolidate power by cutting at the very core of our democracy. Meanwhile, in Palm Beach County, the supervisor of elections said she didn't think her department could meet this Thursday's deadline to complete the recount, throwing into question what would happen to votes there. The recount in other major population centers, including Miami-Dade and Pinellas in Hillsborough counties, has been continuing without incident. Smaller counties were expected to begin reviews between today and Wednesday. Unofficial results show Republican former U.S. Congressman Ron DeSantis ahead of Democratic Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum by 0.41 percentage points in the governor's contest. In the Senate race, Scott's lead over Democratic incumbent Bill Nelson was 0.14%. State law requires a machine recount in races where the margin is less than 0.5%. Once completed, if the difference in any of the races are 0.25 percentage points or below, a hand recount will be ordered. Republicans urged their Democratic opponents to give up and let the state move on. Andrew Gillum and Bill Nelson insist that each vote should be counted and the process should take its course. Here's Andrew Gillum. This is what he said on Saturday.
Best information that was available to me. And since that time, more information has come in. More information has become available around the votes that are still outstanding, and really for our need to ensure in this process that every vote be counted. What has changed in that period of time is something familiar to all of our press, which is we've learned in various parts of this state that there are still votes that are outstanding. There is even still in parts of this state some uncertainty around the total number of votes that are remaining to be cast. And you'll hear more about some of that from our lawyer, who will dig into a few more of those details. But I also have to say what has also changed since election night have been the chorus of voices from the President of the United States, the junior senator of the state of Florida, and the governor of the state of Florida, a chorus calling for the ending of the counting in this process. Now, what is their excuse for that? The best I could tell, I'm not sure. What I do know is that we don't just get the opportunity to stop counting votes because we don't like the direction in which the vote tally is heading. That is not democratic, and that certainly is not the American way. In America, we count every vote regardless of what the outcome may be. They've even used my own words on the evening of election night, in some cases, to justify ending the count. Well, let me say clearly, I am replacing my words of concession with an uncompromised and unapologetic call that we count every single vote. We count every vote. And I say this recognizing that my fate in this may or may not change. What I do know is that every single Floridian who took time to go out to cast their vote, to participate in this process, deserve the comfort of knowing that in a democratic society and in this process, every vote will be counted. I've got to imagine that if the shoe were on the other foot of my opponents, not one of them would seek a different outcome. Not one of them would stand in the way of counting every vote. And I would ask them in this process, as it goes forward, that they stand in solidarity, all of us as candidates and as leaders in our own respective parties, to ensure that every vote be counted. The outcome of this election will have consequences beyond who wins and who loses. How we handle this election and this process will have reverberations for democracy for an entire generation of voters. You see, voter suppression is not only in a barricade or in a dog or in people blocking the entrances of a voting place. It's not even in a debate about what forms of ID are acceptable, hunter's licenses over a student identification card. But the truth is that voter suppression can show up in that first-time voter, the one who entered this process so enthusiastic and so excited about the ability to go out there and to participate in the democratic process, to let their voices be heard, only to hear their president, their governor, their United States senator throw out claims of unsubstantiated claims of fraud and calls and choruses to stop the counting of the votes. Voter intimidation also exists in that hard-working man or woman who got up and frankly every day get up to go out there and work on somebody else's job in order to provide for a living for themselves and for their families, who either by convenience, by choice, or by necessity decided that they would complete a mail-in ballot to mail in that ballot, only to find that the W in their signature today didn't look like the W in their signature yesterday and had their votes thrown out.
Well, that's Andrew Gillum, the Democratic candidate for governor on Saturday, saying that every legal vote should be counted. Governor Rick Scott, who wants to be the next U.S. senator, is criticizing his opponent, Bill Nelson, the current U.S. senator, saying that he believes that Nelson wants fraudulent ballots to be counted. Here's what Governor Rick Scott said yesterday on Fox News to Chris Wallace.
Governor, at 11 p.m. on election night, your lead was 56,000 votes. But as of the latest tally by the state, your lead is now down to 12,500, or as Phil pointed out, 0.15% over Bill Nelson. How do you feel about the recount, and how do you feel about your chances of winning?
Well, we had 8 million people vote. Chuck Schumer spent over $50 million trying to beat me, but we won. Every supervisor election has reported their results. I'm up about, I think, 12,500 votes. There's never been a recount that's changed in Florida or any other state, any sort of win like that. So while we're going through the recount, we won. The citizens of the state won. I'm going to be going to D.C., and I'm going to do exactly what I did in Florida, try to change the direction of the country like we tried to change the direction of Florida.
You suggested earlier this week that there was rampant fraud, your phrase going on here. Let's take a look at what you had to say.
No ragtag group of liberal activists or lawyers from D.C. will be allowed to steal this election.
Governor, do you have any hard evidence that there was actual fraud or is actual fraud going on? And if so, by whom?
Sure. So Chris, we have very specific election laws in the state to try to prevent fraud. We had to go to court to force the supervisor elections in Palm Beach County and Broward County to comply with the law, which is the law is there to prevent fraud. They were not letting party officials review, when they were reviewing ballots. They didn't report on time. We still don't understand how they went in these two counties and had a dramatic increase. Another 93,000 votes were cast, or somehow they came up with 93,000 votes after election night. We still don't know how they came up with that. So we're trying to figure out exactly what happened. I've asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to go in and do an investigation to find out what happened here. But we clearly know, the judges have already said, they clearly violated the law.
I agree with you. There were two decisions, one in Broward County and one in Palm Beach County, which both said that the election supervisors there did not comply with transparency in making information available. On the other hand, as you point out, you asked the Florida Department of Law Enforcement to investigate any accusations of wrongdoing, but the department says so far they've done nothing because they have no specific allegations of fraud. And the Secretary of State's office says the same thing. So certainly they were not as transparent as they should be, and that had to be remedied by the courts. But there are no allegations of fraud at this point.
Well, first off, the laws are set up to stop fraud. That's what the laws are set up to do. And let's look at what happened yesterday. We know Senator Nelson's lawyer said that a non-citizen should have the right to vote. Senator Nelson has gone to court to say that fraudulent ballots that were not properly
delivered, signed, whatever, should be counted. Okay, Senator Nelson is clearly trying to commit fraud to try to win this election. That's all this is.
Wait a second. I want to pick up on that. You're accusing Bill Nelson of trying to commit fraud?
His lawyer said that a non-citizen should vote. That's one. Number two, he's gone to trial and said that fraudulent ballots should be counted. Ballots have already been thrown out because they were not done properly. He said those should be counted.
And you think that is the senator himself is committing fraud?
Well, it's his team.
Governor Rick Scott yesterday saying that there is fraud in the Florida election. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Both the Florida State Elections Division, which Governor Scott runs, and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which Governor Scott runs, have said that they've found no evidence of voter fraud. So the two main agencies in the State Elections Division and the FDLE, say they have found no evidence of voter fraud. Pam Bondi wants them, the FDLE, nevertheless, to investigate. The FDLE says it doesn't know what to investigate. Now, this didn't stop protests outside the Broward County Supervisor of Elections office yesterday, where a mostly Republican crowd gathered, a mob of Republicans, the way the Republicans refer to it when Democrats gather. A Republican mob gathered, holding signs, listening to country music, and occasionally chanting, "Lock her up," referring to Snipes, the election supervisor. A massive Trump 2020 flag flew over the parking lot there in Broward County yesterday, and a Bikers for Trump group wore matching shirts. One protester wore a Hillary Clinton mask. All right. What do you think? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, if you want to send in an email comment, send it to dj@wmnf.org. Yesterday, Chuck Schumer was on, the Democratic minority leader, rather, in the U.S. Senate, was on CNN. Here's what he had to say about the recount here in Florida.
And there have been election problems for a long time in that county, so I have concerns about how legitimate the count is.
Well, wait a second. Saying it's going too slowly is one thing. Saying you have concerns about how legitimate the count is another, because as you just said, no one has said there's any fraud here. And the paramount issue here, the paramount issue, is having every vote counted, even if it takes a little longer. We should not be rushed into doing this, particularly in an election that is so darn close. And one other point, Jake. Even in Georgia, the Secretary of State recused himself because he was on the ballot for governor. Scott should recuse himself immediately. He has a self-interest in jaundicing this election. He should be out of it altogether.
Chuck Schumer yesterday on CNN. Well, if one side or the other is able to slow down or stop the vote recount that's going on right now, and they don't meet their deadline by Thursday, they're hoping that the initial Tuesday night results will hold. Let's take some phone calls. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. Frank Knox is our producer today. We're going to go to Dina in Tampa. Dina, what do you think about this mess?
Hi. Well, first of all, I want to say, listening to what Rick Scott said, he sounds like a desperate, angry man. But being, you know, a desperate person doesn't mean that Florida should just disregard its laws. And I agree with what Andrew Gillum said. If the situation was reversed, he'd be demanding a recount. But, you know, it's not up to them. It's not up to either of them, Nelson or Scott. It's set by Florida law that there will be a recount. Now, I don't know why anybody is even surprised that the votes are close, because the polls showed that both in the senator's race, U.S. Senate, and the governor's race, that these candidates were in a dead heat. So no one should be surprised. The turnout was much higher than what we normally see. So yeah, that's going to put a strain, you know, in my opinion, in some of these more populous counties, probably everywhere. But it makes me curious as to why Rick Scott is just so hell-bent on, you know, stopping the recount. I mean, if he wins, if he has all the votes, he'll still win. Like everybody says, these recounts rarely change the outcome. So just let it happen, because it's the law. And what I resent is him using, you know, his position as governor and using Florida agencies to try to manipulate the outcome, to try to prevent some recount from happening, or investigate when his own Secretary of State has said there's no evidence of fraud. You know, people can scream, can you know, do like Trump does, scream all kinds of things that are not even close to the truth. And, you know, what happens is people like the, you know, the group of Republicans out there, you know, protesting, that's all they hear. You know, they don't care what really is the case or what's accurate or what's honorable. They just want to get out there and scream because, you know, they didn't win.
All
I just think that it's a shame.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Thanks. All right. So you got Tina's views. What are your views? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Louise in Temple Terrace. Hi, Louise. You're on WMNF.
Hi. I wanted to speak to the importance of the recount and taking things slowly. And I loved what Andrew Gillum said that you played. I was involved in an amendment that we did in Charlotte County, and that was when you only had to get, I believe it was 10% of registered voters. So we had to come up to put this amendment through with 7,600 signatures and to ballot this measure. And we aimed for over 8,000, you know, to be on the safe side. So what happened first was that the supervisor of elections office lost 200 that we brought in. They asked if we had copies, and we had not had copies at that time. The 200 were lost. Then she switched the date and brought it forward. So she changed our cutoff, and we were frantically trying to come up. And then we reached the deadline, her deadline. And then she wrote to me and she said, you are 63 short. You can come in and help us look at these. I don't think she thought we would, but we did. We went in and all the 63 names that were short were like this. First of all, one was the signature of the supervisor of elections' own lawyer. He had signed register in a signature of an 18-year-old. And so now he was a big-shot lawyer, and he had a scrawl. And his was rejected. Then we found that it was mostly people of color and women who had changed their name because of marriage. And there were two blind people. Imagine that. Out of 63 votes, two blind people, their prominent person had signed with an X, and it was indicated that they were signing on behalf of the blind person. So we found almost all of these were indeed legitimate, and we
did.
Went.
Did you actually get the 63 votes that you needed, or 63 signatures that you needed?
Well, we got them all to admit that, to say that indeed that was their signature, the ones that would come.
Yeah. So it's important to fight over these provisional ballots.
She threw them out.
Yeah.
And we went to trial.
And you won. And you won.
No.
Oh, you didn't win.
No, because she claimed that it was her prerogative to decide whether or not. And this is this went to the appellate court, so this is something that is on record. But I'm just saying, the votes that are discounted are often people that are just going through phases in their life, you know, and they need to be examined.
Okay. All right. Louise, thanks for making that point. Great to hear from you. Let's go to Frank in Tampa. Frank, you're on. What would you like to say about the recount?
Hi, Rob.
Hi.
From what I've read so far is FDLE does not want to get involved because they're not seeing anything regarding fraud. What I've also read is that the law is in place now since 2000. Hopefully everything will run smoothly the way it should. Is that what you're hearing also?
Yeah, the FDLE hasn't found anything. They're really loath to investigate because even though President Trump and Rick Scott have claimed over and over again there's fraud, right, they haven't really named a specific incidence of fraud.
And with the law since 2000, things should run a lot smoother. The system should work as it should.
Well, if they don't finish the recount by Thursday, there's going to be a huge problem because Republicans will be happy, Democrats will be unhappy, and we have the system by where the recount should be completed by Thursday, but there's no guarantee that it will.
So if Craig Latimer was supervisor of elections in Broward,
it would run more smoothly, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know. Craig's a good guy.
The problem, the problem I'm finding, the big problem, besides what's actually happening now, is the perception. And hopefully that will not cause problems with people having confidence in voting.
All right, we'll see what happens. Frank, thanks a lot.
I think that's an issue that needs to be discussed more.
Well, I think what we really need to discuss right now, not so much future elections, we ought to discuss, is President Trump, is Rick Scott right that there's widespread fraud? Or is Andrew Gillum right in that we should take this slowly and make sure that every vote is counted? And Frank, I only got 5 minutes left on the show. I mean, there's a lot of issues that we could discuss. But Adam writes this, if we complete the recount and Rick Scott still wins, then what is his excuse for screaming about election fraud? He has cast doubt on his own victory by doing that, writes Adam. And another email says, what do I think about Scott and DeSantis? Well, I've lived in Florida for nearly 60 years and never thought about leaving until last week. Craig Latimer, the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County, will be on the next show on the Midpoint program with Sean. That's coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. Let's go to Jim in Fort Molson. Jim, is that you?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Thanks, Jim. What do you think about the recount?
Well, I'm a first-time caller, and I think that I guess they got to do it, but it seems to me like both sides seem to just want to point fingers at each other when they don't get the result they want. I voted for President Obama. I voted for Trump, regretfully. I just could not vote for Hillary. Maybe Bernie Sanders, probably, if he'd have made it. But all this stuff is just drives me crazy. It seems like everybody is so nasty to the other side. And I don't know, we need a little peace and love going on, but it doesn't seem to happen politically.
Yeah, yeah, and calmness. All right, Jim, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Bill in Homosassa. Bill, you're on WMNF.
Good morning, sir.
Hi, Bill.
The guy that's doing all this screaming, my mom used to say, you throw a rock, the dog got hit, yelped. And man, he is, yep. And don't they set those rules and regulations up in Tallahassee?
Yeah, the machine recount, the hand recount, that's all been set in Tallahassee, yes. It's a statewide requirement, yep.
And Broward County has more population than machines can normally keep up with, right?
Yeah, and they had an unusually high number of early votes that they didn't complete counting before the election. That's my understanding.
I got another little question. I'll leave you be. On that ballot that was printed where they put Scott and Nelson at the very bottom of the page, have you seen that paperwork at all?
Yeah, you know, my question about that is I've heard several reports, I don't know what's true, that that people all over Broward County voted correctly and did pick a candidate for U.S. Senate. And in a small portion of Broward County, that's where the 30,000 vote drop-off is, or 25,000 vote drop-off is. Now, I don't know what's true. I got to read some more about this. But some people say, yes, it was the design of the ballot. But other people say there's something unusual happening in just part of Broward County. And that a hand recount may determine what that unusual thing is. And if we don't get to the hand recount point.
When do they decide if they're going to do a hand recount?
After Thursday. So okay. All the machine recounts have to be done by this Thursday.
Okay.
And, all right. Bill, thanks a lot. Remember, Sean is going to discuss more about the recount controversy coming up in the next hour. Be sure to keep your dial locked into 88.5 FM. Let's go to David in Clearwater. David, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, I'd like to say that the Republicans have been in control of Tallahassee for 25 years. I'd like to say that the laws that came down about voting were passed by Republican House and Republican Senate, approved by Republican governor. And I'd like to say they've laid the bet. Now they got a lie in it, and we'll get these votes counted.
Yeah, let's hope they don't overthrow their own laws.
If I went to the poll and my vote was not counted, I'd file a lawsuit.
Yeah.
But I got lucky and voted in early voting. And it's just this business about comparing signatures. Are there experts in each one of the registrar's offices to determine whether or not it's a a fake signature or not?
No, these are lay people that are deciding that. That is one of the problems. Lay people are deciding.
I never signed twice. You know, and
yeah, and I can't sign on one of those credit card screens the way I sign on my driver's license. It looks different.
I know. And you go in and you're going to register to vote, and that's going to be for your lifetime. You take your time and you do it, okay?
Yeah.
You get ready to sign a ballot, you sign the ballot and give it back.
Yeah, when you're going to sign differently at the age of 21 than you are at the age of 75. All right, David, thanks a lot. Thanks for wrapping up the show. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. You can record your comment about this show on extension 115, and we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Stay tuned for Midpoint. Sean is going to be talking about the still uncertain outcome of the election for the next hour. This is WMNF in Tampa. But first, we get the latest news from NPR.
Live from